Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Tuesday morning. Tuesday, December the 12th, 2023, 14 minutes past the hour, 32 degrees and sunny skies in the Marion area. Getting ever so close to the Christmas holiday. Where are we now? 13 days away from the big Christmas day. So 13 days away, 12 shopping days, I guess is what we would say at this particular point. But we're going to soldier on here this morning on WGH Talk. Lots of interesting news this morning, to be sure. You know, I thought we might have a guest coming up here. I guess we will see if that happens or not. You know, live radio, it's one of those things. It just kind of goes as it goes here. 15 minutes past the hour, December the 12th, 2023. Again, 32 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion. Big fruitcake toss coming up tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Here in the Marion area. A lot of people entered in this particular competition, and we certainly are looking forward to the big fruitcake toss tomorrow night, and I believe our guest is now with us here. This is going to be a very interesting interview. We have Meredith Keller on the line. Now, Meredith is from Ohio. She's attending a Christian university in Southern California, and she has a budding music career on the horizon. We're going to learn all about that and all about Meredith, and I can't thank her enough for getting up early this morning. Meredith Keller joins us. Meredith, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
You know, I was stalling a little bit waiting for you, but it's okay because you're way out there on the West Coast. It's early out there.
It's very early, and it's also finally here, so it is very early, but I'm excited to be here nonetheless.
I am so glad you're making the time for us here. And it's also the holidays, busy time. You know, what does this time of year mean to you, the holiday season?
Of course. The holiday season, I think for me, it all centers around Jesus, right? The coming of the Lord. And we can't forget that because it's easy to forget that. I think with all the busyness of shopping, right, and Black Friday and all these other things to be distracted. But I think it just centers around the coming of baby Jesus, and what a time to just be centered on his word and be together as family and as friends and just remember what happened in the past year and what is to come in the next year. And as Christians, we have hope, and that's the best thing. So, yeah.
Now, how would you describe your last year, 2023?
For sure. 2023, that's such a good question. I haven't honestly thought about it yet. For New Year's, you typically, okay, New Year's resolutions, what happened? And I haven't even got to that point yet, but I'm glad that you're asking early. I think 2023 was really just a time for growth for me, for maturing and my identity and figuring out kind of which path that I'm feeling called to, and I think 2023 was really a time of listening and obeying and taking big risks and seeing what those take, and I'm really, really glad that I did, because I think, you know, the phrase, big risk, big reward, and I think if you don't take a big risk, then you'll never know what you feel that little nudge to do, right? And so I'm really glad that I decided to say, hey, I'm going to release some music and see where this goes, right? I'm going to just try these new things, put myself out there a little bit. I think that's something that I really grew in 2023, but I'm very, very glad. So,
yeah. Now, so the biggest risk of 2023 was putting the music out.
I would say so, because you think about it, right? You make a first impression when you're having a conversation with someone. You've never met someone, right? And you talk with them, that's the first impression that they get of you, and that's how they remember you. It's the same thing as a singer-songwriter, as an artist. The first thing you release as music, that's how they remember you. They said, oh, that's the first music that you released. And of course, there's more to come, right? And you can develop. But that is your first impression that you make as an artist, is that first music that you release. So it can be quite daunting. But the feedback has been so wonderful, and everyone has been really, really supportive, and it's really awesome. So,
how nervous were you putting this together, getting ready to release it?
Honestly, I don't think I was very nervous. Like, I didn't even think about until a couple days before, because I was just so focused on, okay, songwriting, the producing, going back and forth, all of those different components, right? There's so much to music, which I didn't even know that there was before getting into it. And so it was really only a couple days before that I released it that I was like, oh, wow. I'm actually doing this, right? And then that's kind of where I got a little bit nervous, like, what's going to happen? But like I said, the support has been great, and it has gone really well so far.
Now, Meredith, you're from Ohio. Tell us about your childhood.
For sure. I would love to tell you about my childhood. I'm sure that my family is listening right now, so I'll make sure to do them homage, because I love them so, so much. I had a wonderful childhood, wonderful parents. I have two sisters, and I'm really, really close with them. I'm a middle child, and we're very close, us sisters. We've never really had a fight, really. We've all really gotten along. We've all had our own different kind of areas that we've been passionate about, and my parents have always been supportive of each of those things in our life, and I'm so grateful for them. And, you know, something about my parents, they're just so creative and open-minded and supportive. And as a child growing up, we would just have so much fun at my house. You know, we had the space, and it was such a place to be creative. We would have karaoke nights. Me and my sisters, we would have fashion shows. We would actually go to Joann Fabrics. This is such a strong, vivid memory in my mind. And we'd go to Joann Fabrics, and we would create our own dresses. And then we would put on a little show for my parents. And, of course, then we would all be really sad because we do the show. And we would get a tie every time. And it was just like, really? Every time we put all this work into it. So that's how supportive that they were. They would always wanted to love us and encourage us and really push us and challenge us and figure out what do we want to do? Not what do they want us to do, but what do they want to do? What are they passionate about? And we'll support that and challenge them to go for their dream.
What do you think growing up in Ohio, being in the Midwest, gave you?
For sure. I think growing up in Ohio has been wonderful. There's nothing that I would say, oh, wow, I'm from Ohio, right? No, I say it proudly out here in Southern California. I say, oh, I'm from Ohio. Now, there won't be a lot of people that are also from Ohio. I'll give you that. But loved growing up in Ohio, besides the cold weather. It's been great. I've been involved in music, took voice lessons, actually at Ohio Wesleyan with Dr. Heaster there, and that's really where I gained my eyes opened with the array of music and with all the options of music. Started with classical voice, actually, which a lot of people don't know, and that's where I got all of my music roots. Which I think that foundation has really helped me grow as a singer and as a songwriter. But I love Ohio. I'm proud of my home being Ohio, and I think it very goes parallel in the sense of the title of my EP, because not only is it titled Home because we're looking towards heaven and that home that he is calling to us one day and that hope that we can rest in, but also in that fact of making that statement as a singer-songwriter, like you have, like I said, you have to make big you have to go for big risks. And Ohio is my home, but you have to move to somewhere else to grow, to become that person that you're called to be. And so that's also a little parallel, which maybe you didn't know as well.
Mm. Now, why, for people listening to this, in the internet age with everything going on, why did you feel you had to move to grow?
Of course. I think that we are all, it's really easy for us to get comfortable with where we're at. And that's an okay place to be. But I think once we get too comfortable, then our area and room for growth starts to diminish a little bit, because we're not being as challenged that we could be if we were somewhere else. And I think that we can start to recognize that once things, you know, maybe start becoming mundane, maybe things are more routine, maybe you feel less satisfied in your daily life. And so I, you know, senior year of high school, this is actually an interesting story, Scott, I think you'll like it. Senior year of high school, I was deciding where to go to college, right? It's such a big decision and such a pressure on high school students now. And I was so back and forth, like, God, what do you want me to do? I just want to please you. And I was prayed over at a wonderful worship night at Damascus, actually, which is such a great, they have such a great mission, look into it. And they prayed over me, Scott, and they said, we see you making Hollywood Hollywood. And so after that worship night, something in my heart changed. And I said, you know what? I think that God calls us to greater things, but sometimes we're not even open to receiving those things that he wants us to, that he wants to give to us. And so I said, you know what, Mom and Dad, and you know, with them being so supportive as they talked about on this call, I think I need to go to California. And a couple weeks before, we went on a family vacation to San Francisco, and I loved it out there. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go to school out there. I didn't even visit the school that I'm at currently, and went on a plane. Went there for to move in, first day of school, loved it. I'm still here. I'm still growing. And so that's a little side story. But
you know, that's very
that okay.
That's no, that's it's very interesting. Making Hollywood Hollywood. That's a very interesting quote. Now, what does what does that mean to you?
Of course. I think that simply means bringing light to the darkness. So in the sense, I am here in that actual like geographical location, right? Hollywood. But I think that that is a call to everyone to be that light in the darkness wherever you are. Because it can be so dark, but if you just, right, if you just have one candle, it's seen and that light is seen and everyone recognizes that. And that's really where my mission as an artist, as a person, honestly, truly, is centered around just being that light to others. And when I'm that light, just guiding them towards Jesus, because he's really the only one that can satisfy us, that can fill that desire in our heart. You know, one of my songs is All I Want, All I Need, and it's based off of Proverbs 19:21, which is just reading, many are the desires of the human heart, but it's the decision of the Lord that endures. And so I think we're always going to have this thing deep down in our heart, like we're never satisfied. And so my goal, my mission as an artist, as a person, is to be that light, to direct people towards Jesus, to say, there is hope. There is a place for you in this world. There is more for you, and that you are loved, and that you are chosen. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but to give people the eyes and the heart to recognize that.
Now, how do you achieve this?
Of course. I wish I had the answer. I think it's small steps, Scott, truly, because sometimes we can get so ahead of ourselves and then become really overwhelmed. Maybe that's just a me thing. Once I start thinking of all of the things that could be, all of the things that will be, it's easy to be a little bit overwhelmed. But I think if I personally can just stay in the moment and focus on the task that's given to me right now and focus on accomplishing that, then I can move on to the next step. You know, you can't take 10 steps at once. You can only take one step at once. And so that's my what I'm working through right now, saying, okay, what's one step that I can take towards growth? Because, you know, what is the phrase about the slow turtle wins the race? I think so, right? The small steps to growth and being in the moment.
Very interesting. Now, when did you know that, because a lot of us certainly do not have the ability to sing, when did you know you had the ability to sing?
Well, I started singing. Actually, you know what, Scott? I was always singing around the house. And if you were to call my parents into this little call right now, they would say, oh my gosh, Meredith was always singing around the house. If you were to talk to my sisters, you know, they would say, oh my gosh, Meredith was always singing. We were like, Meredith, be quiet, you know, from downstairs. And so I was always singing around the house. I always loved it. And it was actually in middle school where I said, you know, I think I really want to get some mentorship on something that I really, really love. And I reached out to my choir teacher and I said, hey, I really want to study music. I want to study voice. How do I go about doing this, right? I'm a middle schooler, by the way. My choir teacher's like, well, you know, a lot of people don't give lessons because you're so young and you're not developed and all these things, which I totally understand. But she's like, you know what, but I can give you some references around in the area and maybe reach out to them and see what they say, but I don't want you to get your hopes up because, you know, people are busy and they need to focus their time on people that have developed voices. And so I understood at the time, but I was still going to reach out because why not? And one of the people that I reached out was Dr. Heaster, and he is a wonderful professor at Ohio Wesleyan University, and I reached out to him, and he said, oh, I can do a voice consultation for you. Oh, great. And so I went and did a voice consultation with him, and right after he said, well, I'll see you next Wednesday, and I did voice lessons with him, Scott, from middle school up until my senior year of high school, and when I come home in the summers, I'll even do voice with him because he has been my rock in voice and taught me everything I know. And I know I mentioned it before too, but classical music is such a good foundation for any singer because it shows you how to healthfully sing and how to have a career of longevity, to be able to go and sing for long shows and all the different things.
When you are choosing to sing something that is not your own music, what are you singing around the house?
For sure. I sing a wide array of genres. Despite me, you know, claiming to be a Christian singer-songwriter, which I am, I love all music because I think there's a message to each song, whether that is hope, whether that is comfort, because our own testimonies also have power as well, and our stories also have power. And so I really like jazz, actually. I think jazz is so, so cool to sing, and it's so different. I love that it's so different, and it's unpredictable, right? I love that. So I'll be singing, you know, Natalie Cole, Orange Colored Sky. I'll be singing that around the house. A little bit of jazz. I have a lot of musical theater growing up, so maybe I'll be singing Les Mis around the house, a classic favorite theater show of mine. So there's a wide range of music that I listen to, and so it can be anything, truly. If you were there at my house, Scott, it would be anything.
Now, do you sing at all times of the day?
I sing a lot of the time, day, not studying or doing classes or all of those other things. So not only do I make time for it, but I do love it. And sometimes it's kind of funny. I'll be singing and I won't even know that I'll be doing it. And my friends will be like, oh man, that's so funny. Wait, what song is that? It's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that I was doing that. So that is really funny.
I know it's 6:30 out there where you are at this point. Could you give us a little bit of Orange Colored Sky?
Oh, sure. Didn't warm up, but that's okay. I was walking alone, minding my business, when out of that orange colored sky flash them Alex's and wonders till you came by. Our coming attune, drinking in sunshine, when out of that orange colored view, bam, I gotta look at you. There we go.
Very, very. Hey, and that's pretty good for 6:30 in the morning.
Thank you. I was actually impressed. I was like, okay, here goes nothing.
Now, Meredith, where do the ideas for songs come from? Singer, songwriter?
Singer, songwriter. And I've actually started to write songs in all different genres. But right now, being a Christian singer, songwriter, all of my lyrics, it's very, very crucial and important to me that it's directly derived from Scripture, because His word is always going to be more sovereign than mine. And I know I talked about it, that our personal testimonies have power, but at the end of the day, what He says is going to be more meaningful, more powerful, more sovereign than what I have to say. And so what I try to do is combine Scripture and also a little bit of my own story in there as well. And so my EP, which I just released, has... each of the songs are very heavily rooted in Scripture. It was very important to me. And you can watch on my YouTube as well. I have the song story for each of the songs on my EP. And it talks about the Scripture and why I chose those Scripture passages for the songs and the meaning and message that I was like, why do I need to write this song? You know, what does God need to speak to this person or to this generation or to this culture or this society? And so Scripture, that's really where I get my words from.
Do you have a favorite song that you have written or released at this point?
I do. I know that everyone says that they don't have a favorite and that they love all, right, like teachers. When they say, oh, do you have a favorite student? They're like, no, but really in their mind they do. I do have a favorite, and that is Lord, Take Me Home. And that's my favorite, Scott, because that's the first worship song that I wrote. So it holds a very special place in my heart, because every time that I sing it, it reminds me of how the Lord has been faithful to me since that last time I wrote that song. It's like, wow, look how much, you know, we've been talking on this whole call about growth and maturity. And every time I sing that, it's like I'm looking back on my old self. Like, wow, I've grown so much. I've walked so far. I've traveled so far and learned so much. And I'm so thankful and so grateful. And so that is really my favorite. And it's based off of Matthew 14:22-33. And it's just that sense of feeling like you're drowning. And it's Peter, and he cries out to the Lord saying, Jesus, save me, rescue me, right? And the wind is blowing and the waves are tossing about. And he's like, God, I know you're there. But boy, I don't see you. I'm feeling like I'm drowning right now. And I think that that's a really relatable thing. And that's another thing important to me as a singer-songwriter, is that what I write is going to be applicable and resonate with a large number of people, because I want it to reach people's hearts. But if it only reaches one person's heart, that has power. But I think if we can find community in this, that is so wonderful. And so Lord, Take Me Home is definitely my favorite.
What was the reception when you released your music?
The reception has been really, really great. Everyone has been very supportive. I released it, and friends from home were listening, friends and family from church, everyone here at school, professors were listening to it, which was so cool. I would go to a class, and the professor would be like, did everyone hear Meredith's EP? And it's like, oh no, they know. And they're like, of course we know. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, well. And then, you know, they played it in class for everyone, which is fine. That's great. I love that. I got to get comfortable with that, right? And so everyone has been so supportive and so loving. And the reception has been really, really great.
You know, Meredith, a big topic here, obviously, has been faith. Where does your faith come from?
my faith comes from Jesus. And that really sums that up, but I can talk a little bit more about it to explain. My faith comes from Jesus. I think that, and I talked about this a little bit, Scott, how we feel like we can be searching and that we're never really found or never really satisfied. And we can look around to the things of this world, but it doesn't matter how many, you know, houses, how many houses you have, how many cars you have, how good of grades that you have, how many, you know, whatever you have, fill in that blank, whatever that feels like for you, that you feel like you've been striving for. And once you get that, the thing is, once you get the thing that you wanted, you realize then you want something else, you know? And so my faith, it comes from Jesus, because I know that in Jesus and Jesus alone, that I can be found, that I can belong with him, and that there is more for me. And he's willing to give that and freely give that to me. And there is nothing that I have to do to work my way, to achieve my way to heaven. He just says, Meredith, you're home. I love you. And I've missed you. Why don't you depend on me? Because I love you and I'm willing to give you what you need, but you just need to have the eyes and the heart to be open to receive it. And so my faith comes from Jesus. So.
You know, Meredith, it's interesting because a lot of people listening to this right now might have this question. When you say it came from Jesus, it comes from Jesus, and he speaks to you, is that literal?
I wish it was, Scott. That would be great. I wish that I would just pray and that the heavens would open and say, Meredith, I'm so glad you're back. That would be so nice. I would love that. No, it's a part of discernment, God, and saying, okay, God, I'm willing to receive what you have for me, right? And expecting and knowing, right? So much of faith is blind faith, not seeing, but trusting. That's where the faith comes in. Faith is trusting in something that you know that is true, and maybe you can't quite physically see it, right? Or you can't quite actually hear it. But trusting that it and he is there, that what he is doing is working in and towards you. And, you know, I feel that, you know, free will also plays a really, really big role in this as well. Because God gives us free will to make decisions and to say, God, this is where I want to go. Can you show me if this is the right path that you want for me? And, you know, it's not a literal voice to tell us where to go, but it's more so in a process of discernment and of listening to just the world around you, listening to your friends and to your family and to their advice, and just little small things like that. And it's different for everyone. I think the Lord speaks in so many different ways, whether that's through the beauty of creation, whether that's through a simple word or compliment of a friend or even a stranger. Like, there are so many ways, but sometimes we just bypass it and be like, oh, well, that just happened. But maybe that voice or that something or that little compliment is from someone greater that we didn't really recognize before. So does that help explain that a little bit, Scott?
Well, it does, but it's very interesting because so many people, and I think particularly young people, do not have that faith. It does not come to them. They can't make that leap because of all the things you just said. Can't see it. It's not literal. So how do you get there, and why do you think so many people do not?
That is a really challenging but excellent question to ask, Scott. So I think that people expect God to be what they would think God would look like, right? So sometimes we say, okay, well, maybe I'll be open to God, but this is what he would be like. It's almost like, you know, you're thinking about, maybe you're thinking about possibly dating someone. You have all these expectations. You're like, unless they meet these things, then I'll think about this person, right? And maybe that's just me. But it's the same thing, I almost feel like, with with God. People are like, okay, if they don't have these expectations, if he's not going to speak to me literally, if he's not going to give me, you know, like I talked about, like houses, cars, excellent grades all the time, you know, all these wonderful, tangible things, is that God is moving in the invisible. He's not moving in the tangible things. Like, you know, we're not going to hear a literal voice from heaven. We have his spoken word in the Bible, and we have to trust in that, that this word was spoken thousands of years ago, and then every time I open my Bible, that he already has a word prepared for me, because if he truly is all-knowing, all-loving, then he knew in that moment, before I even opened my Bible, that he has a word for me in that moment, that he wants to speak to me. It's like a conversation, right? I listen, he speaks, and then we switch the roles. But I think that a lot of youth, expect God to be who they would think God to be, whether that's just a guy with a beard in heaven or speaking literally to them. But our heaven is, and God is, he speaks to us in the invisible things, and our hope is simply eternal life. You know, it's very sad, Scott, but my grandma, my nanny, she passed away a couple weeks ago or months ago, and what really got me thinking was that when we die, okay, hear me out, nothing goes with us but our soul. Nothing goes with us. So all of those cars, all of those houses, all of those successes, all of these things that we've acquired, and they don't go with us after we die. And what else would point us towards a greater good, towards God, than the passing of our loved ones and saying, oh, wow, there is definitely a greater good. There is God. The fact that we don't take any of this in this life shows us that there is more, and that there's simply eternal life, and that truly is all that matters. So,
I
went a little tangent.
No. It's interesting, Meredith, because what you just described for a lot of people would be, yeah, I think, why they have a lack of faith in their life. When somebody dies, yeah, it's a very depressing time in their life.
It is.
They feel, yeah, they will never see that person again. The definition of a soul, everybody seems to have a different definition. Can you talk to a soul? Are you going to see a soul again? What does that mean? So that, I think, for a lot of people, detours them from faith rather than brings them to it.
Right. I agree with that. It can be very, very devastating, and we shouldn't discredit our feelings. And I think sometimes people can assume that Christians are just happy and joyful all the time, but God gave us all feelings for a reason, right? There's not good feelings and there's not bad feelings. And sitting and resting and feelings of sorrow and mourning are powerful too. And I think, honestly, while death is something that is heartbreaking, Scott, I think that if we can put on the lens of seeing what is actually going on here, because it's such a strange feeling, it's such a weird feeling. But if we can have an outside perspective and say, "Wow, okay, maybe there is eternal life," and you know, sometimes it shows us that we can't just keep on going living life. That we are, you know, I talked about, you know, being in this place of our comfort zone and how we have to move on sometimes to be challenged and to grow. And I think sometimes death shows us that we can't just keep on living the way that we're living, that we are called to something else, to someone else that is greater. And the fact that, you know, when death, it's going to trigger sorrow and mourning and anger and maybe even resentment. But it points us and shows us that there is a reason why I'm feeling this way, and that I can't keep on going life like this. That maybe that there is comfort. Maybe there is hope. And maybe we can trust in the fact that I will see that loved one again someday in eternal life, you know? And so it can be sad that it can turn people away from God. I think death can turn a lot of people away, Scott, truly. But I think if people just had the eyes and heart to turn, you know, maybe anger and resentment and mourning, and to say, God, how do you want me to use these feelings? How can I depend on you when I feel like resenting you truly? And I'm being honest here, right? And so that's something that I would think about, if that helps a little bit.
But you know, Meredith, we have about 12 minutes left here, and I think this is a fascinating conversation to have.
Sure.
And one more question in regard to this, because I think the big question for a lot of people is, children die. We've got the wars going on overseas, Israel and Palestine. People are dying. Innocent people are dying there. People have illnesses that make every day very difficult. People lose limbs. People lose family members, as we talk about. This is not a happy time of year for a lot of people because they're alone. And they say, why, how could there be a God who is good who would allow things like this? Why?
That is such a real question to ask. And I think we have to recognize that God doesn't instill evil upon us to punish us. He doesn't say, oh, well, you know, you didn't do too well this year, so this bad thing is going to happen. He doesn't instill evil. He is the creator of all things good. And I think sometimes we have to think back to original creation, right, Scott? When there was Adam and Eve, and he created them for paradise. And they were created for paradise, and it was mankind that turned upon themselves, right? We were talking about wanting more, about being satisfied, seeing that tree, seeing that apple, and picking that, and then sharing that apple with Adam. And because of that, you know, and sin was instilled in the world, and sin is still running rampant in the world. So it just goes back to that one moment where we have to see, we have to have the eyes, okay, Scott, to say, God, what did you create us for? So this is original creation, looking at that, and saying, okay, God created mankind out of his own image, both man and both woman, to love him, to be in unity, to be in paradise, to have everything they need, to not even have anything in their hearts that wants more. That was original creation. And then we have this period of fallenness, of sin. And Scott, we're still in that period of fallenness and sin. And that's why there's so much hurt. And I don't want to say, oh my gosh, the reason why you're feeling terrible is to relate to these two people in the Bible. But it does. And there is fallenness and sin in the world. But the reason why we can have hope, Scott, is because we look at original creation. And God will make all things new at the end of the day, which is eternal life and life with him. And eternal life is paradise with him, what we were originally created for. So even though we don't get to live that unity and that paradise and that feeling of complete contentment, we're not going to feel that here on earth because we're not really called to, you know, the verse says, we're called to be in the world, but we're not called to be of the world, right? And so there is still hope, but we have to look back on the order of things and why the things are the way that they are. But I do want to say, Scott, you know, you're talking about all these things, bad things that are happening. And what I want to say is maybe just for a second, if you're on this call, if you're listening, and maybe you're going through a season where you feel alone, where you feel frustrated, where you feel like you don't belong, where you feel just angry, or maybe you feel confused, or maybe you have questions. All I want to say is that maybe wrestle with those feelings. Instead of using those feelings to propel you and make you more angry and go down another path, maybe just sit where you're at for a second. Maybe just say, God, are you really here? Because I don't feel like it. You know, so often I can be angry. I can be frustrated. We're all humans, right? But something that I love to read are the Psalms, and there's these Psalms of lament that are cries out to God. You know, in the Bible, we think that it's all just joyous and happy.
But also, in the Bible, there are so many stories like Job. And there's stories in the Psalms where people are upset and angry at God. But how can we direct our feelings to say, God, show me what to do here. Show me which path to take. Show me how to depend on you, because obviously I can't depend on myself, because if I'm angry or frustrated or confused, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. So I need to believe that there is a hope, that there is a greater good out there. And so I just want to say, if you're listening to this call right now, there's a reason to it, and that there is a hope for you, and that there is someone who loves you. But maybe just be open and not so closed off. So that's all I have to say, Scott.
If you could write the rest of the story in your music career, just how you would want to write it, how would you do it?
Let's see. Oh, my goodness. Well, I truly don't know what my music career is going to hold. I can't really say, but, you know, I have thought about it, of course. I would love to tour. I would, you know, love to graduate college and maybe move to Nashville or to somewhere in L.A. and pursue music full-time would be also wonderful. But I'm also double majoring in public relations and music, fun fact. And so maybe I will do a job in Christian, like a Christian music PR agency, and then also release my own worship music on the side. So we'll see what it holds. I don't know what that is yet, but I would love to graduate college and either move to LA or to Nashville. If the opportunity presents itself to do music full time, I would take it, Scott. But if it doesn't, then that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop trying. I'm still going to pursue it because I love it. But then I'll work with other Christian bands or artists and shepherd them in their careers and encourage them while also like having my own little career off to the side. But boy, I would love to speak to people's hearts and to change a feeling in a room by the power of music. That would be such a goal for me. Whether that's one person or whether that's 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people, that would just be such a wonderful thing.
For people listening right now, if they want to hear your music, what's the best way they can do that?
For sure. My music is available on all streaming platforms. So you can go to Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Pandora. It is all there. Even just plain old YouTube, if you want to listen to it. If you don't have a streaming service, I made sure to put it on one of those. So it's available everywhere.
What do you hope people get out of your music in one word?
Hope.
Do you struggle with hope?
I think we all struggle with hope, and I think it would be silly to say that we don't.
Have you ever doubted your faith?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I think that doubting, for example, we talked about death, and I think that you can doubt in that time. But I think doubting is actually a good thing, because it makes us actually go, in my case, not everyone's case maybe, but in my case, it actually made me go deeper in my faith and say, okay, I'm believing these things, but maybe I need to go deeper because I'm feeling like I'm not believing. You know, you say something once and you kind of believe it, and then you say it again and you start to believe it a little bit more, and you say it a third time and a fourth time and you start to believe it. So if it's like, okay, sometimes we have to convince ourselves of the truth, even though we know the truth, in those seasons of life that we're doubting or questioning. So
finish this sentence. Meredith Keller is.
Meredith Keller is a Christian singer songwriter. She is warm and welcoming. She is accepting of all people. She is humble. She points people towards Jesus. And she loves to bring fun into the room.
90 seconds left to go. Any regrets?
Okay. Any regrets? With my music career or just with life?
In general, whichever way you want to go.
Oh, any regrets?
I would truly say no regrets. I would say that I truly believe that everything happens for a reason, and I think that there is good in all things if we are able to see it. And I'm just thankful for how my music career has kind of started to take off and for the positive feedback that everyone has had. And I have no regrets. I'm just going to see where it goes, and I'm going to trust that it's somewhere good and that other people will be joined into that light with me.
Well, we certainly thank Meredith for getting up early with us this morning. Meredith Keller is the artist. Remember, you can get her music on all streaming platforms. Just look for it. Put it in Google, and I'm sure you will find it. And, of course, she is an Ohio girl, an Ohio gal, which we all appreciate, and now in California, Southern California, at a Christian university. Meredith, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a lot of fun, a very deep conversation, and I know you had to get up at 6 a.m. to do it, probably before that to get ready for the call, and I can't thank you enough.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, Scott. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Best of luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Meredith Keller, there you go. An Ohio girl making good. It doesn't get any better than that. Hey, we're out of time. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The place for the holiday season. From 101-year-old oldest working actor in Hollywood, Norman Lloyd, reading How the Grinch Stole Christmas.